The key to immortality is first living a life worth remembering. Now that is a very limiting idea, isn't it? My goodness sakes, it has humanity spelled in capital letters. The key to human immortality is first living a human life worth remembering. And that was said by our dear friend St. Augustine. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with our instant inspiration. So many times we make the decision to live a life that will be well remembered. And when we do that, we fail miserably. There was an article written about a very, 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 very wealthy man. And the man is very prominent and very well known and very respected. And he was asked, what do you think of this person or that person? And he says, I'm sorry, I cannot answer you what I think of that person until they're dead. By that time, they stop making mistakes. Now, that's a very human attitude, you know? Very human attitude. Now, if a man is a hero, so to speak, and he saves a mother and her 10 children and her husband, you know, who are in some sort of a perilous experience, car wreck or what have you, but if it hadn't been for this man coming along and taking them out of it, they would all be dead. Now, when he came along, he did this wonderful deed, and he protected the family. He gave them an opportunity to continue living. Well, this man is a hero. He's wonderful. 10, 12 people, their lives continued because he made a gesture, a heroic gesture. Now, I could describe the story to you, and you'd say, oh, wow, but then you get all hung up on the story. And I don't want you hung up on the story. Now, this man had just been in a car accident himself. And in the accident, he had killed a number of people, his car. He didn't do it purposely, of course, but he was instrumental in the death of many people. And he was just so beside himself. He wanted to commit suicide. He wanted to do all sorts of terrible things because he felt he had done such a terrible thing in causing the death of these people. And he may or may not have been at fault. That is, he may have driven in such a way that he caused it, or he may have run head-on into them or something, or he may have been drunk, or he may not. Whatever the situation may be, it's inconsequential. But it is very consequential to the people who died, of course. So now he has this second chance, so to speak. And so he's driving down the road, and his heart is very heavy. And he sees this auto accident, and he sees the flames coming closer to the auto from whatever caused the flames. And he goes over to the car, and he sees all these unconscious people inside. And he opens the door, and he takes them out, and he puts them in his car as best he can. And he takes them out. He takes out the children first, and then the mother, then the father. And with gargantuan strength, he puts them into his car. Now, they're on the middle of a road going nowhere from nowhere. And there would be no traffic along that road for a long time. And he had no mobile phone to call for help. So he put them in his car. And he drove them some 50, 60 miles to the nearest hospital in the nearest city that he knew. And he told the people in the hospital, take care of them, you know. And they said, who are they? And he says, I have no idea. They were in an auto accident, and I picked them up, and I brought them into you. And they said, well, what's your name? And he says, I'd rather not give my name, because I don't want any credit or whatever. Actually, what he didn't want was that his name had been so bandied about because of the accident he had been in and caused the death of these people. He didn't want it to be associated with that. So he went away. Now, he really was a hero. And he went away, and he just felt a sigh of relief because he'd done something to make amends for the thing that he had done. Now, there are many people on earth who would tell that man that he was a very bad man for causing those deaths, and he was not looked upon as a human being of much favor. And then, if he were known almost a short time later to save the same number of people virtually and give them a second chance at life, oh my God, what a wonderful hero you are. And then would they forget the past? Would they forget the past? And they would not forget the past. St. Augustine is saying the key to immortality is first living a life worth remembering. Well, our philosophers, our historians, and our writers are constantly saying, if you don't make mistakes, you're not doing anything. You're not learning. If you don't make mistakes, you're not accomplishing anything. Don't worry, you'll make mistakes. Well, now, this man made a mistake and caused the death of those people. And this man made a choice and caused the life of the other people. Now, would the mistake that he made that caused the death of the other people, could that be forgotten? Could that be released? Or would the world hold on to that? Would the world maintain that as a terrible thing? And would they look upon this man, hey, no matter what you do, you can never absolve yourself from what you did in causing that accident. Perhaps he was drunk. Who knows what? You know. But for causing that accident and the death of those people, you can never absolve yourself. Now, St. Augustine says the key to immortality is first living a life worth remembering. I would imagine that the only life worth remembering is the life that we report, the life that we talk about. All of you have done interesting things in your life. Some people might call them stupid. And if they were recorded, and sometimes they are, but if they're recorded, you would look very, very strange, very undesirable. However, most of the things that people do in life are never recorded, are never written down. We look at the life of the saints. Now, what did the saints do before they became a saint? You know, before they went into the monastery or went into the calling or whatever they did. What did they do? Were they Jeanne d'Arc, you know, who was just a simple little farmer girl? Or were they great and noble people, great and noble leaders? Who were they? And when you get right down to it, when the past can be forgotten, then the nobility of every being finds a place to be. In the here, in the now. This man who saved these people purposefully when he didn't have to. He could have run away. No one would ever know he was ever there except him. But he would have had to live with that terrible feeling in his heart. It was bad enough that he had the previous feeling. Now you say, well, Herb, what's that all about? What's that all about immortality? Is first living a life worth remembering? Well, what is Michelangelo known for? His artwork. Was he known for the fact that he was an excellent businessman? That he was an excellent human being? That he had a lot of wonderful friends who stood by him under many circumstances? Was he known as an excellent student, which he certainly was? Was he known as a man who had the admiration and sponsorship of the Medici family who helped him to accomplish his goals? No. He's only known basically by his principal works of art. Now, are those principal works of art something that you would want to be known by? Mm-hmm. No. The principal works of art that people are known by are not really excellent, because no matter how good that art may be, you were guided and listened within and used your genius to express it. The excellence of a person, if you will, that which is a life worth remembering, is a person who believes in themselves and does their own thing to make themselves happy, and, if you will, surrounds themselves with other beautiful people doing the same thing. If Michelangelo were alone, would he enjoy his own company? And you say, of course, yes. If the Pope were alone, would he enjoy his own company? Whichever Pope you might say. And would the President of the United States, any of them, Abraham Lincoln or Clinton or Bush or whoever, would they enjoy their own company? Would they like to be in their own presence? We hear great fame given to people like Abraham Lincoln, that he did such wonderful things, and he did. He did wonderful things. But he also did a lot of silly things. He did a lot of silly things in conducting wars in which a lot of people were killed who did not need to be killed. He created the freedom of slaves, but who said that he had to create the freedom of the slaves by having a war? Now, when he first heard rumors of war, that the South was not harmonious with his idea, he could have instantly said to himself, all is in divine order. And if he had said, all is in divine order, there would be no need for a war. And if Bush would have said, all is in harmony in the Far East, all is in order now, all the nations of that area are harmonious with one another, there would not have needed to be a war in which many people were killed. Now, that is not their fame to claim. Their fame to claim is to go out and with might, making right, so to speak, with the might of their sword, the might of their gun, to accomplish what they want to do. Now, they're saying that the United Nations, instead of being cowed by the recent attack on them, that they are making a greater effort to bring balance and harmony among those nations. Instead of running afraid because their people were killed, doing peacekeeping things, they became stronger and are covering even a greater area. It takes people who really care to do that. I would say, if I may say, that many of our unsung heroes are the ones who are living a life worth living, and they are in immortality. They are immortal. People who are only concerned about principle, people who are only concerned about right action and truth and love and harmony among nations and among the world, those are the people I would imagine are living in immortality now. Now, they may never be appreciated. They may never have a life worth living that people would understand. But they are the real ones who are the immortal ones. It's not a matter of how long you live. We have some of our composers who live very short lives and yet compose some rather amazing music. We have some of our actors and our writers who, in their short lives, have produced epics and are remembered very dearly. And they were not all that good, but they had a principle. They had a flamboyance about them that made them into a very special person, like Jimmy Dean and the King of Music, remember? All these wonderful people They were loved by their own group, and they were appreciated. But what happened? They died young. And they died young because they had just done whatever they did, and they died because of the foolish things they were doing. And foolish is what you would say, what the world would say. But did they think it was foolish? If it was foolish, they wouldn't have done it. They believed in it, and they had a joy in it. Jimmy Dean drove fast cars, you know. And what's our boy, the king?
Elvis.
Elvis Presley. And Elvis Presley, it was a time of drugs and so forth, and he was into them at that time, and he could afford them. And he had no more proper knowledge about it than they do now. And, of course, he hurt himself. But these are people who are, I'm not trying to extol them, but these are people who are perhaps more immortal than we'll ever know. Did Elvis Presley go downhill after he died?
No.
Did Jimmy Dean go downhill?
No.
Did Jesus Christ go downhill?
No.
Interesting to compare the the three together. But no, they didn't, because they lived a dream. Martin Luther King Jr., did he go downhill? I mean, he did a lot of things in his life that were not harmonious. But that was just for some people who were judging him. Mm-hmm. Now, he did a lot of things in his life that were remarkable. And what he did was what Abraham Lincoln should have done. What he did is what anyone who's trying to free the slaves should have done. He used his voice. And he gathered them together in nonviolence to stand up to being human beings and to being Americans. And because of him and his effort, the world today looks differently upon all the races of the world, not just the blacks, but all the races. Now, would you say he lived a life worth remembering? Not if you looked at all parts of it. But if you look at his major effort, yes, he did. Yes, he did. Would you say that he had the key to immortality? Mm-hmm. You bet he did. Because the key for immortality are these simple words. Be yourself and have fun.
But Herb, you can't have people doing that. They'll do dumb things.
No, they'll do dumb things regardless. If people are being themselves and having fun, they will be less likely to do dumb things than when people are not being themselves and having fun. These are something that's important for all of us to take into our mind and take into our heart. Yes, the key of immortality is first living a life worth remembering, but a life worth remembering in your mind and your heart, not as the world judges. Even Jesus spoke of that. Not as the world judges, but as the divine judges within. So, today we have something new to think about. The words of St. Augustine are as old as can be, but the new message comes out. Be yourself and have fun, and have a wonderful life. I love you, I love you, I love you.